Good morning. Everything working? Why don't we just turn around and say hi to one another? I know we can't go too close, but you can give each other a wave or a little smile or say, hi, how you doing? My name's Rosie, for those that don't know me, but I think all of you do. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really looking forward to coming sharing God's word with us this morning. We're going to be looking at the Romans 12 passage, and we're at the start of a new series. I don't know if you remember Alistair talking in August and sharing a bit of vision with us, and just helping us understand what we're going to be looking at August last year, what we're going to be looking at this year, looking at whole life discipleship. And as part of that mission is a big part of that, about thinking outward looking. You know, he talked a little bit about a worshiping center, worshiping before the Creator, the importance of worshiping in community together, and our worship as people standing before God is not just about coming here on a Sunday, even though it's really important. It's about everything, every area of our life. And it's really good when we start a new year to be examining all of that and thinking, okay, where am I at? Where do I want to be? God, what do you want to do this year? I'm really up for everything and anything. He talked about an exclusive family. You know, worship, when we worship God and we give our whole lives over to God, it draws other people in. We are not designed to do faith alone. And the other thing he talked about, and this is what we're going to take into this year, is a transforming presence. God is with us. You've heard that from the pulpit for the last couple of weeks, and before Christmas as well, that God is with us. God goes before us. And sometimes we need to ask the question, whatever it is we're praying for, whatever it is we desire for God to do, whatever it is that God is speaking to us about as a church and as an individual, do you believe that God can do this? Do we have that faith? Our culture is so pessimistic and doom and gloom, particularly what we've been through over these last couple of years. According to your faith, let it be done. And so I want to come this morning just to really encourage us. I want to ask you how you're doing. I'll ask you at the start of this talk when we go into Romans 12. Ruth read it really well. And I'll ask you at the end how you're doing. And I hope we can go away and we can learn together. And I just want you to know that the stuff that I'm going to share this morning, I'm speaking to myself just as much as I am to you. I don't know if you've ever done something new before. I remember for my 30th birthday, it was a wee while ago, I decided I was going to be different from all my friends. You know, I was going to, I wanted to learn to do a new skill. So I decided that, actually some of you might not know, when I had my 30th birthday, I just moved to Stirling. And I decided I wanted to learn to snowboard. You know, I never had that pleasure growing up where families that could take me away skiing and snowboarding. So I thought, you know, I am going to turn 30 and I'm going to learn to snowboard. In Glasgow, we've got a snow dome, so I got all these vouchers for my birthday, and I was going to nip away there my days off when I just started my new job here in Stirling to learn how to snowboard. And I was really doing really well. And I thought, well, as part of this whole experience, I don't want anything to get wasted. I am going to book a snowboarding holiday. And there I was, brave as I could be, booking my first ever snow sports holiday to Austria. And I went with some friends, and we met people there as well. I remember just thinking, oh, I'm so excited. I love the hills. I love the mountains. I'm going to be at the top. I'm going to go from the top to the bottom if I can achieve that. And this week, I'm doing really, really well. You know, Snow Dome in Glasgow, you're just like, it's a very short space that you're up and down. But to be at the top of a mountain would be incredible. And so the first week we arrived and the instructor said to us, I've got some good news and some bad news for you. It hasn't really snowed very much in the last month. And I looked around at my hotel and I was like, there was no snow. I was like, oh my goodness, I've dreamt about this type of holiday for a long time. He said, but don't worry, be reassured. When we get up the hill, and you get in the gondolas and up the hill, there is snow at the top. And I was like, whoa, okay. So we got up there and there was snow at the top. There was a lot of snow at the top. But because it hasn't snowed for a while, it was very hard, compact snow. So if you're going to learn to do, I had a whole week of lessons booked as part of this holiday, and I was still continuing my learning on how to snowboard. And honestly, see, if you fall on ice, it is not fun. So I'd be doing these turns and you're like, oh, and then you put your hands down on the ice, and then your wrists would be aching, your body would be aching, and then you would get to a point where I don't want to fall, I don't want to do this, I don't want to try this anymore because it hurts so much, my body is aching. And then on the second last day of the holiday, it snowed all night. I remember going back up the mountain and it was like powder snow everywhere, and all the things I've been trying to do all week, I could do within a couple of minutes, because I wasn't scared anymore. It was like all this snow coming down, it was soft, it was just amazing. I was doing all these turns. I was so impressed of all these things that I'd been learning that I could actually practice. And I was able to go from the top of the hill right down to the bottom. What an achievement for my 30th year. I was very, very happy. And the reason I share that story with you is because sometimes I think, you know, when we're thinking of our faith and our life, there's things that we want to try, or we're sometimes just a little bit too scared to try because we've never taken that type of risk before. Or we think, I don't want to do this because I might get hurt. Or something happened to me in the past, so I'm not going to do that again. And it's just this whole restriction is all around us that we put ourselves in. We're kind of wrapping ourselves up in a little bit of cotton wool. Some of us have had a gift of hospitality. I'm using this as an example. And we've not been able to invite people around to our homes for a long time, or we've lost our confidence of inviting people around to our homes because we don't want to catch COVID. We don't want somebody else to catch COVID. And it's like we're kind of, losing our confidence in a lot of things. And then I see the snow just being like an incredible encounter with God. And we think, actually, I can do this. This is going to be okay. I'm going to take this risk. I'm going to step out of faith. And it's okay if I fall. And it's okay if I land on my bottom, or my hands, or my back, because I'm going to get back up again. When I look at this passage in Romans 12, it's a kind of preparation and everything we need to know about mission, about looking outwardly. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And you know, when we look at the first part of this passage, Paul presents God's mercies as the strongest argument for giving ourselves over to God. You know, as Christians, it's just a reminder, kind of like a refresher this morning, you know, to say, how are we doing? Where are we at with all of this? Are we giving our whole lives over to God, or has he only got a little bit at the moment? You know, it's like a little bit of a checker. In view of God's mercy, when we think of God's mercy, we think, what has God done for us? And sometimes it's really good to look back and think, wow, God, you have transformed my life. You've saved me. You speak to me. You hear my prayers. You hear the cries of my heart. Thank you for just sending Jesus into the world so that when I screw up so many times, I can come to you and ask for forgiveness. Thank you for that love that you have for all of us. Surely just to remember and to acknowledge all of these things is enough for us to say, yeah, God, I give you everything. That God sent his only son into the world for me, for you. We're sinners. Death is the consequences. That's what the Bible tells us. But Christ died for us. And he took our place. He took the punishment for our sin on himself when he died on that cross. That is an act of grace and mercy. It's the ultimate gift. It's the basis of our faith and everything that we do. And we've not to forget it. And I just want to remind us this morning, surely that should be enough motivation for us to give our whole lives to God. If reflecting on God's mercies doesn't move us, then we're in trouble. Where would we be without God's love and forgiveness? Where would we be without God's presence in our lives? What kind of hope would we have without him? And I just want to encourage you to think about your situations. Consider our family, our friends, our jobs, our church. When we think about all these things, surely we can realize and see the wonder of God's mercy. I remember as a teenager when I was 18 years old and I said, God, if you're really real, show me. And he did. In my brokenness and in my pain and suffering and just thinking I was worthless and I wasn't anything. I thought I didn't have any gifts or any talents. I had nothing to offer anybody, let alone God. And right there in the midst of my cry of asking God if he was really real to show me, there I had a picture of Jesus visibly at the bottom of my bed saying, Rosie, I love you so much. In fact, you have no idea how much I love you. And for me, that was the start of an incredible journey of dreams where God started to reveal things to me in the supernatural. People thought I was absolutely crazy, but I knew it was God. It could only be God. Oh my goodness, what kind of God is it we serve? A God that wants to come and have that relationship with us. When we look at this Romans verse about giving our lives as a sacrifice, I know many of us, and I even think it myself sometimes, it would just be much easier to give money, wouldn't it, than to give ourselves. When we see and we actually understand truly what that involves. The second part in this passage, we offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This expression, living sacrifice, is set against the backdrop of the Old Testament sacrifices. While the Old Testament worshiper offered an animal, the New Testament worshiper is to offer himself. Just as people of Israel presented their animal sacrifices to the priests, we are to hand over our bodies to God. In fact, everything, every part of us. Out of celebration for what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, we are to give ourselves to him. To say it sounds really easy, but the practicalities of that are quite a challenge. When Paul uses the term bodies, implying the whole person, or the physical means whereby the whole person is expressed. This presentation can be seen in much the same way that a defeated general of an army would hand over his sword, thereby demonstrating the surrender of his whole being. In the act of consecration, we give not our dead bodies, but rather we make a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is more difficult than a dead sacrifice. A living sacrifice means something to us. It has intrinsic value. Dead sacrifices have no value. They don't mean anything to us. Living sacrifices cost us something. Dead sacrifices cost us nothing. I'm reading the story this week of an old pastor of a Scottish church, and he was asked to resign because there was no one had come to faith in the church in the last year. Aye, said the old preacher, it's been a lean year. But there was one. One? One person came to faith, said the elder. Who was it? Oh, it was wee Bobby, said the pastor. Oh, they'd forgotten that lad who'd just become a Christian a while back. He'd given himself in full consecration to God. It was wee Bobby who, in a missionary meeting, when the plate was passed for the offering, he asked the steward, can you just put the plate on the floor, please? And the steward did it. And then he stepped in it with his bare feet, saying, I give myself because I have nothing else to give. Wee Bobby became the world-renowned Robert Moffat, who with David Livingstone gave his life to reaching the continent of Africa. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Asked a woman to her pastor. It's holding out a blank sheet of paper, the pastor replied. And it's just to sign your name at the bottom. And you let God just fill in the rest. That's what Paul has in mind when he instructed the Roman church to offer their bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what Robert Moffat did. And that's what's expected of each and every one of us as we come into this year, 2022. And you know, when we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, We offer ourselves to God through transformation and renewal. We demonstrate our commitment by refusing to conform to this world, by being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Do you know, I just think in today's age, it's one of the hardest things. We're surrounded by so much technology. Our minds can be, we can consume our minds and fill our minds with things constantly, 24 hours a day. You know, if the telly's not on, if the music's playing, or the PlayStation's on, or the phone's on, or the tablets are on, or something's on, or what's happening here, or what's happening there. And before we know it, we're here. And then our minds are getting filled with all of these things. And sometimes we need to take a step back and say, actually, what are we filling our minds with? What is it that's going on in there? And it's good to ask, you know, is it good stuff? Is it stuff that's getting us down? Is it encouraging? Is it uplifting? What's going on? How are we doing in this whole area? When we give ourselves to God, it's reflected in how we have to be different. God wants us to live as holy people, people who are distinct, separate from the ways of the world, to live as transformed people. And I think it is really sad. It breaks me. And I'm speaking to myself as much as you, that sometimes it's hard to tell the difference to someone who's a Christian and someone who's not. Worshiping people are changed people. And it's reflected in our walk and our talk and our personalities. When we give ourselves to God, we live not self-centered, but Christ-centered. The world seeks to put pressure on our mind to think of all these things that are going on. But when we allow God's Spirit to come within us and to transform us, we see things completely differently. But we have to be intentional about what we fill our minds with. We got an Alexa at Christmas, supposedly. It was actually myself and my husband that got the Alexa for Christmas. And my daughter, Zara, told everyone in her class in school that she got an Alexa for Christmas. I said, what did you tell everybody you got an Alexa? I says, no, that was my present. Oh, is it not mine, Mummy? I thought, no, you got lots of other things. But I just love the fact I can say, Alexa, I'm just loving this whole, I love music. I want our family to be more into music and get away from the iPads as much when they're having downtime. And at the first couple of weeks of Alexa, it was, Alexa, play Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'm like, that was all my children knew. It was Christmas songs. I'm like, Christmas has passed. We're going to learn some new songs. But I just love the fact that I can say, Alexa, just pop on this song. Play this song. I love worship. I love just hanging out in the evening and just allowing the Spirit of God just to minister to me through music. That's the way God speaks to me and through the reading of the word as well. When Christ comes into our life, we're a new person. I'm just reminding us of this morning. What do you want this year to look like? You know? One of the things I think are some of the biggest challenges that when we've been through just what we've been through over these last few years, we can lose sight of what it is to be outward looking. You know, we have to stay in our houses. We've got to try and stay safe. Everything's about protecting ourselves. But what about other people out there? I want to remind us this morning, some of us are really good at reaching out to others, phoning others, asking others how they're doing. Some of you would say to me, Rosie, you don't know the kind of year I've had. It's been really, really hard, and it's been really tough. I've been struggling with my health. I've had this thing happen to me. This tragedy has happened, and I get all that. You know, some of us have been through some of the most painful things over this last year or a couple of years. But one of the things I want to share with you this morning is that, you know, no matter what you've been through in your life, no matter what pain or suffering that you have experienced, do you know that God can still work through you? You don't have to have your life all healed up to be used by God. Every single one of us can be used by God. I came across this testimony of this guy this week. His name is Nick Voutage. You can look him up on YouTube. He's got no arms and no legs. And he was sharing his testimony. I was just looking for testimonies and just wanting to be encouraged myself. And he shared testimony about how his parents were really shocked when he was born that there was no limbs, there was no arms, there was no legs. Anyway, as he was growing up, they loved him. They would pick him up. They'd have to take him here and take him there. And they would always tell him, son, you know what? God really loves you. God has a plan and God has a purpose for your life. No matter what other people think, you are special and you are worth something and you're going to be something. But you just have to believe that for yourself. They wanted to keep him in mainstream school, so he went along to mainstream school and had a terrible time. He was made fun of all the time. He spent a lot of time thinking about all the things he couldn't do and looking at all the people and all the other boys and girls around him that had arms and legs and thought, they can do all this. I can't do any of this. It was a lot of time thinking about what he couldn't do. I think when he was 8 years old, he decided that he wanted to end it all. And he thought of how he was going to end his life. And he thought, I'm going to drown myself in the bath when I'm in the bath. And then just something inside of him thought, you know, I don't know if I want to put my family through that. My family really love me. They really care for me. They really encourage me. They tell me every day that God's got a plan and God's got a purpose for my life. I don't think I can go through with it. This guy had an incredible encounter, this child, with the living God. And for himself, he acknowledged that he knew that God had a plan and God had a purpose. At age 13, he says, he hurt his foot, so he has no arms, no legs, but the bottom of one of his left stump is this little foot that sticks out. Doctors told him he'd never be able to walk or whatever, but he's able to walk. They place him on a table, and he can move his limbs a little bit so that he can get a bit of movement and different things. But at age 13, he hurt his foot, which he used for many things like typing, writing, swimming. And that injury made him realize that he needed to be thankful for his abilities and be less focused on his disabilities. And he was talking to the janitor at school one day, and the janitor really encouraged him to share his story of faith because it was so inspiring on how he had overcome adversity. And so one day he had the opportunity as a young man to share with high school students, high school teenagers, about how he coped having his disability. And one girl in particular was listening to his talk. He's a very inspirational speaker who's had an incredible encounter with God. And one girl was sobbing very hard when he was speaking. And he looked up at her and she put her hand up to say, I'm really sorry for interrupting your talk in front of hundreds. It was a whole assembly hall full of kids. But can I just come up and hug you right now? She said. We said, sure. So she came in, she hugged him in front of everybody, and she whispered in his ear, thank you, thank you, thank you. No one has ever told me that they've loved me and that I'm beautiful the way I am. And you told me that God loves me. Her gratitude inspired him to have a whole ministry of just going and sharing with young people how much God loves them and God cares for them and God's got a plan and God's got a purpose. From someone in his brokenness, if you look at a lot of his stuff, you can go and look it up when you go home. It says, Nick, no arms, no legs, no limits. There is no limitations of what God can do. He got married, he had children. He's just got an incredible, he's a motivational speaker. I didn't actually realize he was a Christian when I spoke to him, and then I saw this other message about how his faith had transformed his life. Transformation and renewal, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to change the way that we think. I love that. When you read the next part of that passage, I don't have time to unpack the whole passage this morning, but the middle part is about using your gifts and talents. What are you good at? You know, if you're good at hospitality, go and invite people around to your house, or just one at a time if you don't feel safe having crowds around. Go meet up with people for coffees, go for walks, go and use your gifts. If you're a giver, go and give away. Go and give things away. Go and do what you do. Do it cheerfully. Get excited about your faith. If you've got the gift of prophecy, go and use it. Go and speak wisdom and life into other people. Go and encourage other people. There's a whole list. Go and read it when you get home. And then we get to verse 9, which I love. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really, really love them. hate what's wrong, hold tightly to what's good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. And just keep on praying. And when God's people are in need, get ready to help. Be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Oh, that's a hard one. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. I want to encourage us this morning. These verses are all in here. It's probably one of the hardest passages to live out our Christian life. But you know, as we start 2022, I don't know what happened last year. I don't know what your relationships are looking like. But let's make some changes as we go into this year. Let last year not be a repeat. Let this year not be a repeat of last year. If things can change, God can change them. If we're willing. And if we're happy to do that. It's so easy to moan, to grumble, to criticize, to pull each other down. That's what the world does. We see it in our media every day. But no, that's not what we have to do. We have to be different. We have to encourage each other. We have to love each other. You know, it's easy to love each other when people are easy to love. But Christian community, oh my goodness, I've never met a more mixed bag of people that you'll find in the church. And we have to love each other. And we have to look out for each other. Lord, help us. But you know, I'm up for the challenge. We have to forgive each other. Impossible tasks, a lot of these things. But when we give our whole lives over to God as a living sacrifice, we have that supernatural power where God can walk with us and journey with us and help us to do that. If you're struggling with some of this stuff, go meet with someone and pray with someone and say, can you pray with me till this is fixed? Can you pray with me regular? Some of the people that I've encountered over this last week are reaching out to others because of the love that they've received from other Christians and from others that have stepped all out for them. John 13, Jesus says, you will know that you're my disciples by the way that you love one another. And that's one of the biggest challenges when we're thinking about mission and we're thinking about outward looking. Nobody wants to come and join a church if we're all fighting with the other and speaking bad of each other. People want to come and join a fellowship where we encourage one another and we look out for one another. I was chatting with someone on the phone this week and they're struggling with their mental health. It's a long-term situation. They have good days and they have bad days. And they were telling me that their house group were involved in making meals for someone and they were going to be involved too. I said, that's great. She said, I don't have the energy to make a meal, but I'm going to go and buy a meal and take it over. I'm so excited about it. I just love that. You know, you could say, oh, I'm not well. I can't do anything. I'm just going to stay in my house. But actually, if there's a way that I can go out there in my pain and in my suffering and bless somebody else, that's great. My 15-year-old niece is suffering from long COVID. Her and her family arrived over from Africa in the summer, and she started her new school, Lindsay Academy, in August. She was at school 6 weeks, and then she got COVID, and she hasn't been out of bed since. And it's been 4 months, and it's been really hard for any teenager to go through what she's been through. And this week, I read a Facebook post. I'll probably get quite emotional. But she said, you know what? I had an encounter with God this week. From all the love that people have poured on me, the cards, the people that are praying for me, this song really spoke to me. And she says, I know I'm going to get through this. I know one day I'm going to be able to get out of bed. I know one day I'm going to have that energy. And I don't know what God's doing, but I know one day God will use me to reach out to others that are suffering the way I have suffered over these last 4 months. My goodness, do you know what? No matter what you've been through, or what you are, if you're suffering, if you're hurt, God can use you. God can use us all. Let that be a challenge. Love one another. Look out for one another. Let's see what mission looks like for us at SBC this year. Let's allow God to transform us. But we can only do that if we offer our bodies to him as a living sacrifice. And I just want to end this talk by just asking you, how are you doing with all of this? A challenge for all of us. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much, God. that you care. Oh my goodness, you love us so much that you have a plan, that you have a purpose. For some of us, we've needed to be carried over this last little while because life has been so tough. Thank you, God, that you're there. Lord, show us how to reach out. Out of ourselves, show us how to reach out to others, where we can show love, where we can show care, where we can make a difference. Lord, just show us your plan for each one of our lives. Thank you, God, that you're there with us. Help us to be more like you. Help us to be more Christ-like. Help us to take ownership of our faith. Help us to encourage and not to criticize, to lift each other up and not pull each other down. Lord, show us how to be salt and light in this world, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.